Welcome to the Soul Talks podcast, where we equip pastors, leaders, and other men and women in ministry to thrive with Jesus in their life and leadership. Now let's join Bill and Christy Galtier, doctors in psychology, spiritual directors, and founders of Soul Shepherding.
Hello, friends. So glad to be in conversation with you. Christy and I just finished leading our Soul Shepherding Institute retreat week on spiritual formation at a beautiful retreat center outside of Phoenix, Arizona. Our first time leading the Institute there. And wow, Christy, we just had just such wonderful people we got to be with, 50 leaders from all across America and around the world, and such an incredible time of community and learning and renewal. People were just really dialed in. Many people, it was their first retreat, some coming back. And gosh, you were listening. Wish you could have been there with us. Such a incredible time of just deepening in our relationships with Jesus and really offering to him our influence and the different ways we get to serve him and being equipped to go deeper with Jesus in emotional health and loving leadership.
I love that. It's my favorite thing about when we get to travels. We get to meet a lot of you, our podcast listeners. So we got to meet some of you in Detroit and then some of you in Dallas and then the end of this 3-week travel trip, Arizona. But it is just such a joy. I'm thinking of our friends in the Philippines who were there with us this week. And we listened to your podcast, and it's just so fun to meet you and have you come. And then we had with us on Zoom a pastor in Nigeria, and we had missionaries in Thailand with us, and wonderful friends in Australia,
UK and Canada, yeah, that came UK, in person.
Yeah. So it's so neat to be a part of what the body
Mexico,
of Christ.
Deep in Mexico. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Coming up to join us. Yeah.
What the body of Christ is doing and what God's doing all over his world and his kingdom. Such a joy. But afterwards, you know, you would think we would just be on a high, which in the one sense we were, because we see God act and amazing, powerful ways and deep ways, and it's so fulfilling. And so we finished the week, and we planned to stay for the weekend to take in a couple spring training games, since you're a baseball fan, and we were right there in Arizona in the midst of spring training. And so I was going to try to enter into your world with you for us to have some relaxation.
Which I felt so loved. You'd go to some Cubs games with me in spring training and join me in geeking out on baseball as I'm telling you about all the players and their stats and their stories and everything. And it was awesome.
Good. That's what I wanted. And I enjoyed the time with you. But we were looking forward to that and that transition, making that transition. We left the retreat center. We'd gone to the little room that we'd rented on Airbnb. And as we got there, I was still in the mind of, okay, there's a couple tail ends of things that we need to finish up here.
Work stuff, yeah.
Work stuff. The church were speaking at a conference, needed some promo videos for their social media on it. And there were some things that our staff had asked from me, and we worked together. So to get them those things, we needed to do that together. So I was carrying that, and I was thinking, yeah, we'll just get these checked off our list. We'll get these done, and then we'll enter the baseball mode and the fun time together and kind of our couple's weekend of fun and rest and relaxation and beauty. So as we were driving from the retreat center to that little Airbnb room we rented, we got a call from a staff member who needed our input. They were up against a deadline and needed to submit a project, but needed some feedback. And so we spent some time. We were glad to do that. But it had taken a little bit more out of us than we had realized, and we were tireder than we had realized we were. So when we got to our little Airbnb room, I thought, okay, but I promised our staff I'd get them these videos. Let's just step outside and just do this real quick. And you didn't have it to give.
Yeah, I was frustrated and stressed by that. My perfectionism was activated, and I was in play mode. I was in disconnect from...
You were done.
Yeah, I was getting my Cubs hat on, and we sort of switched roles there. And so, yeah, so we had some conflict on that. And I think we're still needing to process that some more. And so we thought we'd invite you, our listeners, into this to sort of, you'll probably relate to Christy or me, or the experience of having conflict with, whether it's your spouse or another loved one or friend. And we'll try to work this out further.
Well, I think it's helpful because this is something that I think we run into in a pattern where we have maybe different needs or different expectations or different priorities as to what we'll do with our time and our energy. I think it happened again when we came home and we got to our normal time when we would record a podcast and you were ready to go and your expectation was that we would do it. And I didn't have it to give. I was already into all the makeup work and that we had put on hold all week while we were ministering, and I was feeling pretty overwhelmed and needing to be present to our staff and my email and my project list, and didn't have it to record a podcast with you. So this happens to us where we both have competing priorities and the needs that get in the way of each other's priorities.
Yeah. So when we were on our Cubs weekend, yeah, I was looking forward to baseball games away from me to just really unplug, relax, and just sit and watch a slow moving game that isn't really important, but it's interesting to me. And so I get to go into another world and was excited because you were entering into that world with me, which is a great gift of love because you're not a baseball fan. You're not a sports fan. You had surprised me when I was talking about taking one of our kids to spring training. He said, well, I'd like to go with you. And I thought, really? This is new. So I was really enthused about this and got pretty irritated that we had work that we had to do just then. And so, that didn't go so well. That was difficult.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised at your response to my asking that we would just do those videos, because I was kind of thinking, well, the baseball weekend starts tomorrow. We're mm-hmm. still in work mode here. And so my mind hadn't switched yet, and I didn't know yours had.
Mm-hmm.
I think normally I expect you to be slower on those transitions than you were. So I was surprised how quick you'd made that. And then I didn't realize it. And then it was hard because I felt like what I was asking of you shouldn't be that much, shouldn't be that hard. Like, we should be able to just do it. But I realized that, no, I wasn't being empathetic to you in putting that expectation on you.
Yeah, for me, I didn't realize that I'd given a lot, and I was more tired than I mm-hmm. thought. I mean, it was a very fulfilling week. Yeah. I, in some ways, was energizing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was a lot of teaching, a lot of interacting with people. It was wonderful. But yeah, I had turned the corner, and so I had some limits that I didn't know I had.
Yeah, and I had thought, gosh, we're on a high from the week and what got it done, and we've been partnering together all week, and we'll just continue this. It'll just be the same thing. We'll just be talking to a camera instead of people like we've been all week. So for me, I didn't think of it as being anything different than we'd been doing all day or all week. I didn't realize that you were at the point where you kind of use your words up and your energy up and your people space, and you were needing to rest.
And my perfectionism got activated. It didn't seem like a small thing to me. I didn't feel ready, adequate, or competent to do those recordings. And so, yeah, I got frustrated. I don't want to admit I was angry, but yeah, I was angry inside. And yeah, we had some tension about that.
I was glad that you were honest with me about what you were feeling. And even though it didn't feel good to see that it came out with some anger, it was appropriate. You were appropriate with your anger. And it alerted me to the seriousness of, no, don't push this. Christy, you need to let this go. It wouldn't be loving. You wouldn't be loving, Bill, if you don't let this go.
Well, that was a lifesaver for me, that you were gentle and that you were empathetic and that you switched gears so quickly to really tune into what I was going through. I really appreciate that, because I alarmingly quickly, I fell into a trough. I got discouraged and depressed and felt shame, and I got afflicted. I just felt like I shouldn't be making such a big deal about this, and I didn't feel good about having been irritable with you. I didn't feel good about the previous conversation we had with one of our staff, and I felt like I was not warm and engaging and appreciative, and was having difficulty engaging because I was more tired than I realized. And I'm probably still recovering from the pneumonia, and I don't even want to admit that, you know. So I just, it was just hard for me to see the limits that I had and some of the challenges that we were facing in that conversation between us, and then with our managing of different issues in our organization. And so I became afflicted with self-criticism and judgment, and spiraled down. And I'm sure that a big part of that was the Satan just spinning lies and accusations and kicking me when I'm down. And so, I fell into a really, really grumpy, depressed mood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I felt for you with that. I saw that. I was surprised, but it was obvious to me. And I had temptation two ways: to meet you in that, just match your mood, and sync with you and join you in that, or to respond offended that you said no to what I just wanted to get off our plate, and that you weren't really able to be sensitive to what I needed at the moment, or present to what I was feeling. Or then I was also tempted to shame for asking you or expecting or to have a need or a want in the moment. And so I was feeling all of that. And I was just really praying because it was feeling like, oh man, our night, our week has been spoiled. Tempted to feel like it's just, let's just go home. Instead, Lord really helped me to have empathy for you, to see that, well, yeah, you were tired. You had engaged a lot longer than I had on Friday because I had gone into packing mode and packing up and cleaning up the room and getting us moved out of the retreat center while you were still doing some ministry. So you'd had some hours more of ministry that I didn't have. And so I was realizing that you'd given more. And so... recognizing that, those kind of things helped me to have some empathy for you. And then God just gave me grace for you to think about, well, yeah, of course you're tired. And of course you need to rest. And of course you're looking forward and wanting to transition into the fun of this weekend and the rest of this weekend. And we had already started unpacking in our room. And I was like, well, yeah, of course he would think we've made the transition. I hadn't internally, though. So I was torn because there was a part of me that wanted to, like, just join you and try to draw you out and empathize with you. But it felt like I couldn't reach you. So instead I put my efforts on prayer and not matching your mood, and trying to get to a point where I could return to joy and be grateful for the opportunity we had before us this weekend.
Well, the Lord led you in that because, I was in a dark hole there pretty quickly and swirling and self-pity, as I reflect on it now. And if those of you that have experienced that kind of a thing, when you're in that sort of a state, feeling sorry for yourself and depressed, the crazy thing is I kind of like wanted to stay there.
Yeah, you shared that with me, and that was really helpful. I really appreciated you sharing that. I think that's courageous for you to admit that, Bill, because I think there is a truth to that we experience that seems like, well, what? That's crazy. Why would we want to stay there? But when we're there, there is a reality to feeling that way.
I think that's part of the nature of self-pity. And I didn't want to admit that, but I realized that as I was feeling that. And because you didn't react to me escalating the conflict, and because you didn't fall into drowning with me, but you stayed on land, you stayed grounded, you stayed with a separate sense of self, but you were very clearly concerned for me, and you gave me a lot of empathy, like you just did a few minutes as we've been talking. You were very tuned into me, you were very gracious with me, but you did give me space too. And so I prayed, and I was able to take the hand of Jesus as like Peter sinking in the sea, and I was able to resist that pull into just swirling into deeper levels of melancholy and just kind of grunging in a bad mood for maybe, you know, the rest of the night or something. And realizing that all was not lost. And so I took heart from the Lord and the Lord through you. And I communicated with the staff member where I felt like I just wasn't really the loving self, certainly not the joyful self, peaceful self I wanted to be in that interaction. And so that resolved and repaired. And so that gave me some dignity. And I thank the Lord for you and your love for me and your joy. And that helped me a lot. And so, yeah, I was able to return to peace and return to joy. And we had a great walk together that night. And
that really helped me, that walk. I think that we got out of the dark mm-hmm. little room
yeah.
that was enclosing and hard to transition into. And got out in the sun and the blue sky and got our bodies moving, because there was a part of me that, like, if I just laid down on the bed with you in the room in the dark with your darkness, I don't think I could have resisted mm-hmm. matching your mood in that. But being able to get out in beauty and move with you really helped me to keep my eyes on the Lord. And then the other thing I think that helped me was I wanted to rescue you. I felt that pull, like I wanted to rescue you, but I didn't feel like I really could or like it was mine to do. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure what you were feeling. I was still kind of surprised by it all and the level of which you were having such strong emotions. And so I wanted to talk about it, but I was a little bit afraid to, because I wasn't sure if it would get worse and I wasn't sure if I could help you. And so I just tried to keep my eyes on the Lord and be quiet with you and enjoy being present to you in the moment, holding your hand.
While we were walking or talking
while
about
While we now. Were walking, yeah, we walked 5 miles.
I was coming out of it in that mm-hmm. time, but I wasn't totally out of it, and yeah. you wouldn't have really known that internally I was replenishing and reframing. So
no.
You still had some lingering effects,
yeah.
I'm hearing now.
Yeah, but I didn't want to... I didn't know if I would have your permission to go there with what you were feeling. And so I did give a lot of quiet and just trying to enjoy the good of the beauty of the walk, of holding your hands, of being with you, praying. And then occasionally I would invite a little something, and then occasionally you would share a little something.
Yeah, well, I needed that shared solitude, you know. It was a wonderful retreat week with a lot of words. I mean, we each had some TLC time that included some quiet, but on balance, the week was a lot of teaching, a lot of questions that people had, which I love that. I mean, it was, there was, everybody was just so eager to learn and to grow, and it was just a great community, a great spirit in the community. It was a tremendous joy. And so, you know, a lot of this is, it's like Jesus went up to the mountaintop with Peter, James, and John and experienced a transfiguration where God, his Father, is just pouring out love on him. You know, you're my beloved son and you, I'm well pleased. And, you know, everybody needs to listen to you. And I mean, Jesus is just an incredible immersion in the beauty, like we're talking about, but in God's presence and God's voice and affirmation. And then Moses and Elijah appear to him, and he's having this very deep spiritual conversation, probably about his cross that's coming. And he's just being incredibly strengthened, and he's radiating with light and love and holiness. Just the glory of God is upon him in the transfiguration. Even his clothes are turned white. And so then they walk down the mountain, the four of them, and what's the first thing that happens? There's a boy that's demon-possessed, and the other disciples weren't able to, they prayed for him, but they weren't able to drive the demon out. They weren't able to minister healing in Jesus' name. And so Jesus then is battling with the demons there for that father and his son. And I think that's what we experience when we have a special retreat or any kind of a spiritual experience and an infusion where we're in a community or we're in God's word and God's doing a deep work in us. You know, Satan has trouble getting in there at times like that. So as the scripture says, he leaves and waits for a more opportune mm-hmm. time later. And the opportune time is when we come down from the mountain, we go into the valley, and we get into back into the ordinary responsibilities and work and daily life and different things that there are mundane or a grind for us. Mm-hmm. And so I was very tested and tried there more than normal. And yeah, I was falling into shame and feeling bad about myself as a Christian and as a leader. And in the Enneagram world, I'm an Enneagram 1. And so I was sliding down into the Enneagram 4, the individualist and the melancholy. And so, I mean, I'm living the book we wrote, Healthy Feelings, Thriving Faith. I'm living it on the downside of it. But then the Lord helped me come into repair, and you were huge in that.
Well, it's really helpful for me to hear you say that that time together in quiet was so helpful to you, because that goes so much against my nature. I am not someone who needs quiet to process. I process out loud. But I could tell you were processing. And it did seem, and what I think I'm hearing from you now, that's really helpful wording and understanding from you, Bill, is that actually you felt my silence with you was empathetic.
Yeah, we're holding hands, we're sharing in the walk. It's like an oasis in the desert. There's trees and little lakes, and there's birds singing, and yeah, we're just relaxed and walking, and I'm breathing and praying, and you're praying, and you gave me space for that, and I began sharing with you what was going on with me, and you were very responsive with kindness and listening and being gentle and supportive and empathetic, and so the Lord used that, and I came out of that dark hole and out into the sunshine slowly, and into the land of the living, and with my relational centers back on, and we were able to enjoy the rest of the evening and the weekend. And I'm thank God for that. Thank God for you and that.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate that you trusted me with what you needed and that you were honest, because it would have been a disaster if we tried to do those videos at that time, if you had tried to just meet me in what I was wanting. So
yeah, I've learned that we need to have boundaries and just not push through in those cases. I've learned to pay attention to my soul at a time like that, and then I need to process. And it's a balance of processing. I need to process verbally too. I think that everybody does. I don't totally believe that whole theory about the man cave, or could be a woman cave, but we just need to isolate for days on end because we're stressed or upset about something. I don't think that's really how you heal and repair. But there's a balance of some downtime and some solitude time that a lot of us need. Certainly I, as an introvert, need some of that. But then that helped me to share with you what I was experiencing and what I needed.
I was also helped, Bill, because we had been teaching this week on living in the kingdom of God. And so it helped me to remember that I'm in the kingdom of God. You're in the kingdom of God. It helped me. We had taught on grace. Grace is power and favor. And I was calling out to God, asking for his grace for you and for I in that moment. And so I think, too, it really helped me, having been immersed in just the blessings of God's good news and presence and love and all the things we got to be focusing our minds on together and enjoying in community and teaching, to get the opportunity to say, okay, I get to venture on this right now, and to do that in that moment really helped me to extend to you grace and empathy, and not to let it spoil the good, but instead to be present and hopeful and expectant of God's goodness, God's been enough for us in the stress and the disappointment.
You were living into the things that we were teaching, and I admire that. I appreciate that. And before we close this conversation, I'd like to hear more about how you were able to not match my mood And I'm sure some of you listening to this conversation have that same sort of question on your mind, because that's a temptation for a lot of us, especially, you know, those of us who are more relational and we're shepherds, we care for other people as pastors, as missionaries, spiritual directors. You know, we have soft hearts to listen. We want to care. We want to understand. And so we're prone to get sucked into somebody's stress or distress. And certainly you have been historically as an Enneagram 2, and you've talked about struggling with people pleasing and mood matching and that sort of thing. So help us understand what enabled you to not sink down into that quicksand with me.
Probably a couple things. One was probably that I had received in the TLC time, which is the time that we take on retreat personally.
To love some, Christ, mm-hmm, TLC.
For some solitude and silence time, some personal time for processing with the Lord. I had received in that time that I took personally during the week, and I had shared with you out of that, and you had spent time listening to me and giving me empathy and had been present and attuned to me in that, and I had been processing some things from my childhood. And so I think that was helpful that I'd received that. And then even as we were leaving the retreat and we were driving to the little Airbnb room, I was sharing with you my sadness upon leaving and how I was sad the retreat was over and how I was going to miss the people that we'd been with and how there was a part of me that felt like crying. I was so sad about it, mm-hmm, and felt the withdrawal from this wonderful week of ministry we had. And you listened to me with empathy in that. And so I think that helped. And then I think the other thing that helped was we do this with the retreatants every retreat. The last day right before the end is we spend some time watching and praying, knowing that temptation's coming around the corner. And so I think that watching and praying in advance of the transition also helped me. And so by the time we were thrown in this conflict, I was at a point where it was like, yeah, I'm not going to let Satan steal my joy.
Mm-hmm.
What he just did this week, and that we've got 2 days to enjoy a weekend together, and I get to be invited into something that's really fun for you and special for you in spring training. And I wanted to be present to God and to you and to myself in that.
Well, I'm really proud of you. Your growth in your discipleship to Jesus and your growing individuation, differentiation, where you're able to have boundaries and differentiate yourself emotionally from me so that you were able to stay on the solid ground. And as I was sinking in the quicksand, you didn't get pulled down into that with me, but Jesus used you and your hand to help pull me up. And so very thankful for that, Christy. And so those of you who are listening, hope that you feel like you are part of our relationship with the Lord and each other, and that you are part of this community, because you are. And we would love to be face to face with you in the Soul Shepherding Institute, whether that's in person at a retreat or on Zoom tuning in, because it's all about Jesus and community with him.
And it's exciting because it's always a reminder to me that it's really true that God helps us to grow and to change and to mature. And sometimes we lose sight of that at times when we're in the temptation or in the difficulty or in the lower levels of our personality. And so it was encouraging for me to see the growth of the grace of God in my life and in your life and in our resolving conflicts and different differences.
So Lord God, thank you for your grace to us. Thank you for helping Christy and I to repair in this conflict. And just pray for each of our listeners, Lord, and just think of those who struggle with stress, frustration, irritability, getting in a negative mood, falling out of a relational engagement and trusting of you and loved ones, and can swirl in self-pity. Just pray for each one who relates to that, and pray that like Peter in the sea, they would see your hand, Jesus, reaching out to them, and that even in this conversation, they would get some handholds that would help them learn how to not give into that in a way that is destructive to themselves and their loved ones and their relationship with you. And Lord, let's pray for each person who relates to Christy's position that she was in and feels a deep care and empathy for a spouse, family member, a loved one, and is vulnerable to get pulled into that. Even those of us who are in the ministry of spiritual direction, pastoral care, as we listen to people and care for people, sometimes we can get submerged into their stuff in a way that ends up being less helpful to them. And so teach us, Lord, how to integrate our offering of empathy with the need to have boundaries. And just pray, Lord, that Christy's experience that she shared here would give some insights and strength to those who relate to that. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we get to be your students in the school of life called the Kingdom of God, and that your love is always unfailing, and you redeem even the things that are broken or bad, as you did for me in the situation with Christy and the conflict we had in our relationship. So we thank you that you're the God of repair, and we pray that for each of our listeners in their marriage, their family, their relationships, their ministry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us on the Soul Talks podcast. To find out more about growing in your life and leadership, subscribe to the podcast and visit us at soulshepherding.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram